Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Barbara, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the recent practice intensive. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, Jen.
Thanks for being with us from such a long distance.
That's okay. It's great. Just let me know if there's...
What's
let
that?
Me know if there's an... Is there an... Are you having an echo?
No. Are you having an echo?
Okay. I'm not. That's great.
Okay.
I often do with my phone.
No, it sounds fine. I realize, I guess you're so far away that you actually don't have to be up in the middle of the night, so that's good.
I don't. It's morning over here. It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. That works well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we just finished the practice intensive. So maybe you could tell us about your experience of the impact that's had on your practice, what you've seen as you went through that process.
Yeah, sure. I had a really great time with this intensive. I love the practice intensives, and this one in particular just really connected me up with my heart, like, immediately. I loved the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I found that really, I love that. That really kind of works for me, and...
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
it occurs to me, Barbara, that some folks may not know the format. So you want to give us an example of what one of the days might have looked like? I mean, not doesn't necessarily have to be the content, but kind of how it goes.
Okay, so I wake up in the morning, and there's an email in my inbox, and it's got an assignment for the day, and... I practice with that during the day, and there's a couple of other emails that come during the day to remind me. The other component is if you choose that you can send a process text in the afternoon to a facilitator. So there's an email that comes through to remind you about that, and then there's another one later in the day to remind about recording and listening for the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just lots of support all through the day to stay connected with the assignment and with the practice. I just found it, I really loved writing the process text. I found that really supportive and really, really helped me get clear about the process that was happening.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah. So to have the opportunity to send a process text, and that there's a, you know, just like email classes, there's a limit to it. And so really an invitation to look and see, what am I seeing? What precisely do I want to say around what I'm seeing about this assignment today?
Yeah. And I think, you know, with this particular practice intensive more than ever before, I really got to see how the what you practice is what you have. That was just so my experience with it, and I also sort of got to see how, you know, we got given different words each day. Is it okay to sort of mention the content a little bit?
Yes, please, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, one day was merriment and another day was joy, and, you know, these just beautiful words, and I just found that as soon as I just read the assignment, it was just an instant shift, an instant shift.
Wow.
You know, mornings are usually kind of my most difficult time, and I just found myself excited. I felt like a little kid at Christmas, you know, waking up early to open up the present, you know.
That's so great. What's my word today?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, just that excitement, not knowing what it was going to be, but knowing that everyone was just going to be so beautiful to work with.
And, you know, as you say that, Barbara, it strikes me that it's such a lovely mirror for us to look in as practitioners as well, because the fact that you're reading that assignment, you know, you're seeing the word and you're reading the assignment and you're going right to that experience is just such a lovely receiving of our own practice, right? Because
yeah.
it's through awareness practice that you have that skill of being able to have the attention directed to somewhere where you want it to be willing to go to that place, and to recognize
yeah.
that that's what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I found that really the words were different every day, but really
mm-hmm.
the experience was pretty much the same, because the words were all just words that reflected conscious, compassionate awareness and
wow,
and connected me
point.
Up to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the words were different. The assignment was particular, but it felt like it all took you to the same place, that place of conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was very... It's very strong, and just I guess just, you know, how it was like every day I had this beautiful refuge to come back to every time I noticed I was starting to, you know, slip into some story
yeah.
and something wrong,
yeah.
and then it would be like, oh, joy. It's like just a sort of instant shift.
Yeah, and you know what's so fun about that, as you describe it, is that so something like a practice intensive, which is such a good, great way to describe it, isn't it? It's an intensive period of practice.
Yeah.
So it's 2 weeks where, I don't know, hundreds, maybe thousands of people are participating in this same thing. And we're not actually, especially for someone who's been practicing as long as you have, we're not doing something we don't already know. We know the focus of the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention. But
yeah.
having that experience of, so there's that word, merriment, going to the place as you read the assignment, and then using it as a refuge through your day, makes us realize, oh, right, I can do this all the time in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just felt to me like it just went to another level of really
mm-hmm.
getting that, you know,
mm-hmm.
really mm-hmm. getting that what I practice is what I have, and the process is the outcome, and all of those things that, you know, you hear them and you understand them
yep.
intellectually
yep.
and conceptually, but it was just another level of having such a strong experience of it.
Yes,
that was so powerful.
Yes, as I've heard Sherry say so many times, you know, you hear practice sayings like that all the time, but then to have your own direct experience of it is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
It's like it becomes
yeah.
yours. It becomes something that's now available to you all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, and I know, so one of the things I've decided to do, because I noticed, so some of the things conditioning was trying through the week was, oh, you're just having a good day, or
uh-huh.
and then when it kept happening, I kept having a few good days, it was like, this won't last.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was, well, it won't last if I don't
yeah.
keep practicing with it, you know. So I've set it up so I'm still doing it. The intensive is continuing. I've recorded all of the assignments and put them on my recorder, and I, every morning I randomly choose one.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, so I wanted to still have the surprise of not knowing
yeah.
what word I was going to get, so I sort
that's
of close
great.
My eyes and spin.
Yes. That's great. And then you could even send the process text to yourself, right?
I haven't the last couple of days done that, but yes, I that feels like a really important part of it, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do want to do that.
I remember
yeah.
someone talking about that with the stop, drop, and text at one point, saying, you know, how great of an experience it had been, and as it was coming to a close, that sense of, oh, shoot, I'm not going to have that anymore, and then realizing, well, yes, I can. I can
yeah.
text the mentor. And then
yeah.
you know, we both get to be the practitioner who's paying attention to our experience, looking to see what we want to write in, and we get to be the mentor who responds
yes.
from that compassionate
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's
oh,
been pretty,
so
yeah, pretty great.
Pretty great. And pretty great that, you know, you could live as far away as you live and be so connected with Sangha. you know, that we truly all can practice together.
Yeah, I know. It really makes a difference, and especially these ones, like same with email classes, where I get something back, I put in, you know, my process text and receive something back, and you really feel that connection, because sometimes I can sort of be under some illusion, and I'm sure that's the same with people that live 100 miles away, you know, you're under this illusion that you're out here doing it on your own.
Right. And then we realize, gosh, we're really not. And then in being willing to practice, we practice not only for ourselves, but then there's the generosity of then that becomes something that's, you know, shared with the whole Sangha on so many levels. Our email responses that we send in, the gift of the person who's on the other end of your text, being on the Good News Update to talk about it. I mean, it just, goes on and on.
Yeah. So a lot of gratitude over here.
Yes, gratitude all around, every continent.
Yes. yeah, fantastic.
Well, Barbara, we are up against what is now for us the 5 o'clock hour. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we begin the show?
I guess just the thing that struck me this morning with what I've done, like setting it up so I can still do it, it's now like I just noticed that I got I took even more in of what was written in each assignment, you know, like... So it's like each time I'll work with those words and the beautiful quotes that were written and, you know, on it, you know, more of it will go in each time. So that was exciting to see.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And then, you know, there's a conditioned idea of, well, I've already done that. You know, I want to do something else. But that place of, gosh, why not just get deeper and deeper and more still with this? What a beautiful experience.
And make some of my own up. That's the other thing I thought I'd do.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yes, the words that just come across are quotes that you come across, and then you want to take the word out. And that's great. It's like your own personal what universe are you creating?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jen.
Okay. Thanks. Take good care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Barbara. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. You?
Great.
You're good, too?
Great. Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it? Was that a fun conversation?
Yes, it was. Yeah, great. Great.
My experience. They talked about my experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine too, mm-hmm. in the intensive. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. I like these good news updates.
Yes, and I was just reflecting on how... as we've talked about often, how many opportunities we have and that really reach into our daily lives and how important that is and supportive that is. And yesterday I had a reflective listening buddy support call in the middle of the workday, and I just stepped out, and it's fabulous. I just love that.
Yes. When practice just comes right into our daily life and supports us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I loved what Barbara said about it using it as a refuge. You know, you have that word, you have that focus. It just brings you right back to conscious, compassionate awareness, and that's our refuge, no matter where we are or what's going on.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements here, unless there's something else you'd like to share.
No.
Okay.
More practice opportunities coming up.
Yes, lots of them. Anyone doing spiritual practice is walking the hero's path. We meet our mentors and face our demons and courageously encounter and transcend our deepest fears. The Hero's Journey Retreat, September 1st through 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, will explore the nature of the path we are walking together. Join Sherry and Ashwini for this fun and unusual experience.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it shocking that we're talking about a retreat the 1st of September and it's just kind of right around the corner?
Yeah. You know what we're going to be talking about soon after that.
I know.
The New Year's retreat.
Yeah. Boy.
Yes. The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, October 1st through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, offers an opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. And get support for Catching Conditioning's Bamboozles with the Empty Teacup Challenge, which is running now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 15th. Our goal is 15,000 thwarted bamboozles, so look out for the con jobs and record how many you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
And speaking of which, now I am right there, so I'm talking about me. I commit to doing it tomorrow. I have not signed up for the bridge walk yet. I have not ordered my T-shirt. I'm committing to do it tomorrow because hardly any of us have done it. And I know we're going to have a lot of folks there, so it'd be good if we went right on ahead and committed now.
Yes. Go ahead now and register right away, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Great. Great.
And it's on our calendar.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 7, the conditional, and the assignment for week 3.
Mhm. Good one.
Yes. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're ready here, Sherry.
Okay, good. I'm ready. You're ready?
Okay.
We got people out there ready, we hope. So here we go.
Ready as I'll ever be. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. This is Art. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Who is this? Did you say Art?
Yes. It's been a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, no. I just wasn't sure that I heard your name, but.
Sure.
Hello, Art.
Hello, Sherry. How are you? You're good?
Great, thank you. What's going
Great.
On?
Great. I've sort of submerged in... Well, here's a story for you.
Okay, kind of, all right.
Yeah, I sort of submerged in a kind of coming, popping back up. I've got a great Zen awareness coach, and we've been working, you know, practicing, and so I've got some commitments, and I've been keeping them, and it's really kind of a far cry from the level of practice that I had been doing. But at the same time, I'm doing a lot of recording and listening, and a lot of listening, and really leaning on the mentor, and you know, the voices will go in, you're not doing enough. You know, it's just all this, you're not doing enough, you're not doing enough. And I'm doing a lot of, And the mentors just, look, all that matters is you and I are together. That's all that matters.
And you know, Art, I know you know this, but I have to say it. The voice is only saying that to make you feel bad, because certainly that voice does not want you to be doing more practice. So one of the great responses to that is, you're right. You're right. I'm not. And just pick up the recorder and start recording. It'll get another story going in a big hurry, because
yeah.
The last thing it wants you to do is awareness practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my body reacts too, of course. I don't want to stop working and pick up my phone and record. I use my voicemail at work. I can't bring my cell phone with me, and so I use my voicemail and. And that's sort of fun. And I'm just glad to be calling in. Really am.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really important. And I want to make sure I understood what you said. You said you don't want to stop working to record?
Yeah, I'll be at work, and the voices are already just telling me, You're so far behind on all this stuff. And I'm like...
Stuff at work?
Yeah, just the stuff at work, so far behind at work. And I'm not really. I've got a lot to do,
no.
And it gets done. And,
no. Art, yeah. This is really important. This is not just for you. It's for everybody, for all of us. The voice is saying that to make you feel bad. It doesn't say what's true. It says what will make you feel bad, what will make you give it attention, what will produce that so that you attend to it. That's all.
Right.
It doesn't care if you're behind at work. It doesn't care if you get fired. It doesn't care about anything except getting your attention.
It's amazing. And Sherry, I've just been... I get so much, so much relief, and it's just when I'm listening to the mentor, it's I'll just have it on random, and it's just comes in and it just gets my attention and says, hey, we're together, and that's good,
yep, and even if you can't record, when it comes in and says that stuff at work. You can still use it as a reminder, even if you can't record. Mm-hmm. What you can do is just say to yourself, out loud if you have a space of your own, or inside your head, well, actually, that's a lie. And what's really true is that I'm doing fine. I'm in a perfectly good place. And just go on talking until, it is coming up with another topic.
Right.
But let it be a reminder to come back to yourself. Don't let it hook you and take you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry.
Always it's a reminder. Yeah, always it's a reminder. And in that way, it really does serve us.
Mm-hmm. It does. Absolutely, it does. And I'm becoming aware that it's just the more that I turn to the mentor, the more love the parts of me that are susceptible to the voices, which just vanish when the mentor, the voices aren't part of me. They're just they seem to be upsetting parts of me, and they it all just goes poof when when the parts of me that need the love and attention get it.
Yeah. Yes. And all you have to do, I know this is what you're saying. You just hear the voice of the mentor, and you're right back at center. All that suffering just falls away. Your attention goes to that kind, compassionate presence, and you're here. There are no problems.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter what the mentor is saying. Like, that's why you can keep it on random or shuffle or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The mentor can be talking about anything. He's just talking. You're listening. Mm-hmm. Poof. You're here.
Yeah. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Sherry. I want to give other folks plenty of space, but I sure appreciate the practice. It's just been wonderful.
Oh, It is a great practice, isn't it? I'm so glad you're doing it. All right. Thanks,
too.
Art.
Okay. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Art. I love those success calls, Sherry. They're great.
I do, too. I do, too. People turning their attention to what is. Very good.
Yes, yes. And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next call. You are now live on the internet. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob Kay in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Hi. Bob. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Great, great. Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
Well, I realize I haven't called in a very long time. And I thought,
I would agree with you.
I mean, I've been practicing, but I haven't called into the
right.
show.
Good. And thank you. I just want to underline that, Bob. I just want to underline that because I know there are a lot of people who are practicing who, for whatever reason, never call into the radio show. They used to, and I know they're still practicing, but for some reason they don't. So thank you for role modeling the I'm practicing, I'm calling in.
Great. I think what I want to look at is I've been practicing a lot this summer with being like in conversation about something to do without having a goal of doing something.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the content really matters, but it's really just the process I look at is that, so if I'm like in conversation, especially with someone else, about a project or something that we're working on together or something that we're trying to work out, that conditioning always wants me to like say, okay, well, here it is, and then how are we going to get there? And then the focus becomes on, you know, opinions and solutions and figuring things out, everything but actually being present in that conversation about how to achieve something.
Oh, my, that is a subtle big place.
Yeah. And it's just so fascinating because all the conditioning is about, for me, is just really about, you know, getting things done, how I'm responsible for getting that things done, and of course how I'm inadequate to the task. Even though I'm responsible for it.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Well, it has to be that way. It's very much what we were just talking about with art, right? So it has to have those components. Right? So this is your job and your responsibility. You have to do it. You have to get it done. Oh, by the way, you're inadequate.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a perfect little suffering scenario, isn't it?
You there, Sherry?
I'm here. Did Bob go away?
Bob? He's still visible here.
I'm talking.
Bob, are you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. Is that all right?
Yep.
Yeah, now we can hear you.
I didn't do anything.
I'm standing still. Okay. So
yeah.
I had just said about how that's a perfect suffering scenario, and you were saying?
Well, so what I've been practicing with is, you know, really putting the attention, I guess, on, you know, being present rather than trying to get anywhere. Because conditioning is always like, you know, like, this is what we're doing, so you need to have opinions about it, you need to do something, you need to, when things are stuck, you got to force things to get unstuck. And, you know, having seen that, that's never, well, let's see, for content, that has occasionally been successful, but in terms of leading a life without suffering, that's never really possible.
Yeah. It's really good for ego's life.
Right.
Right? Because that keeps all of that conversation going, but it's not that swell for the human being. And the other point that you're making, it's not that good for awareness. right, for awareness practice, because it gets you focused on something other than being here in life, letting the intelligence animate you and making allowing intuition to be available to you and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm glad you kind of outlined all that, because the experience is that when I act out of conditioning, I'm keeping awareness from I'm keeping away from awareness. You know, me to be present to the what's actually going on in that moment, to what might be dropping in as awareness about it, what life might be dropping in,
yes.
Is it helpful, this or that.
Yes.
And it's just, there's just nowhere to go with it that way.
That's right. That's right. It, which, again, it gives a perfect picture of what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is about. So it wants to keep you wrapped up in that little triad that we were just talking about, right, where this is your job, you have to do it, you need to get it done no matter what, and you're inadequate, you're unequal to the task. So you have to suffer and spin your wheels and look to conditioned mind for answers and try to make things happen and all of that, which is great for ego. When you turn your attention to awareness and you're in the moment, and intelligence is dropping in insights and directions and guidance and that, now you've stepped into a whole broad, expansive, huge world of possibility that awareness is, and that's really bad for ego. So we're constantly in that, you know, am I going to fall for what really works for ego, or am I going to help the human being step into freedom?
Right, right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And part of that piece that's also really helpful is to, you know, almost invite the experience of I don't know into it.
Uh-huh.
Because that's completely unacceptable to conditioning. But when I bring it in, you know, and if I voice it, you know, say, I don't know. And this is what I'm seeing, but that specific thing, I don't know, that it changes everything. It changes my relationship with whoever I'm in conversation with, changes my relationship with myself, with life, and it allows me to be in that kind of open, really honest place, rather than, because conditioning, there was one more thing, the conditioning would want me to, like, fake it until I make it, essentially.
Yeah. right, exactly. And if somebody is paying attention, when you say, I don't know, you become trustworthy.
Hmm.
Because of exactly what you're saying. In that I don't know place, what you're saying is, the rest of that sentence is, I don't know, but I'm going to do everything I can possibly do to get to a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which means I'm going to be open and present and looking, and rather than the fake it place of ego, which if we're paying attention, we go to immediate queasiness, because what we get is, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's so ego invested that he's going to just come up with something that's probably going to waste my time and cost me money, because he has to look like he knows the answer.
Yeah, and that place of that in saying I don't know, it also takes it out of the personal, because I don't know, you know, all I can really do is kind of show up, be willing to be open and engaged, and then we'll see what happens. But to hold on to this idea that I know anything, that I can, you know, that there's some, you know, that I have control, essentially, is just such a, you know, it just goes down a really steep path really quickly.
Yes, yeah. And of course, because we live in a conditioned world, people are so used to that, you know, you go to the mechanic, you think, really? Because you haven't even looked at the car yet. How can you be so certain? And again, this is going to cost me a lot of money. Or you go to the doctor And wouldn't you just give anything if you could find a doctor who would say, well, you know, I don't know, but let's find out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you'd do almost anything to stay in relationship with that person, right? Because you're not just dealing with an ego.
Yeah, it's great. All right, well, I should jump
really
off
is.
Let other people have a chance, but I'm glad I called in. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. Another great call, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good. Whenever you say that, I think, what would happen to us if we didn't? I mean, we really, that's a very good thing. I'm so glad we do. Yeah.
It is a good thing. Yes. And here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara, and I want to thank you, Michael and Sherry.
Sure.
Thank you. Should I start?
Yeah, please.
Hello? Oh, okay.
First of all, you're welcome.
I didn't know
if anyone's
hearing me. Okay, thank you. I've been doing a lot of work. I did, you know, the email classes, and I have a reflective listening buddy. And this time I noticed how I've gone through a lot of really positive changes, and as a result, I started to regress in one area that I was able to work through without going back to by doing the Socratic email class. So I'm, like, kind of disappointed, and I kind of got it that, like, I'm doing this because it's making me feel that there's still that connection with conditioned mind, and there's still this so-called Barbara, and that's it. And and so that's why I wanted to call you, because I'm kind of stuck.
Okay. This is very good. And you are definitely not alone in this, okay? We have this conditioned, we are conditioned to have this belief that what I'm going to do is work out all this stuff and be done. You know, we have a lot of conditioning about being done. Yeah? So, So you're gonna solve all your problems, and then you'll be finished. And we don't really, it's kind of like the movies, you know, the happily ever after movies, where it just ends, you know, with the kiss. And they're 23, and nobody is concerned about what happens for the next 60 years of their lives, right? We're just meant to think that they're always 23, and they're always kissing, and they're always happy forever, right? And so we've fallen for a lot of that. But in awareness practice, we get to have a different relationship with it. And here's the way it goes. If you've seen of course you have, but how am I going to communicate it? Picture a spiral that's going around and around and at the same time up. Yeah? So a spiral staircase, and it's climbing up floor after floor after floor after floor, going in a circle, right? And that's a pretty good image of how practice goes for us. So you worked on whatever this was. You put a lot of energy, it sounds like, into whatever piece of conditioning this was, whatever it was that you were suffering over, and you got to a place of clarity, and you felt good. Is this true?
Right. And it stopped.
Yeah.
All the things that were really upsetting me, like this bad habit that I have, it just stopped.
It just stopped. Absolutely. Just went away. And so we we think, and we're told by conditioned mind, and there's a feeling of, you know, I really did earn that, because I worked hard on that issue, and now it's behind me, and I can move on with the rest of my life. But life actually doesn't work that way. Yeah? And so what happens is a couple of things. One, those kinds of things usually take a little hiatus for a couple of circles up the spiral staircase, and then here they come again. Now, you, of course, at this point, are a different person than the person you were when you started with working on that issue, when you were in the process of working with that issue, when you got to that place of feeling like, whew, all right, we have some clarity here, this is behind us. You're a completely different person from any of those people. Right. True? Yeah? And so now you get to see, how am I at this point with two things? One, with the person, with the Barbara. How are you with the person, and how are you with the issue?
I never would have thought of that. Yeah.
I know. We're trained not to. But it is the way it goes. And in my experience, and I'm betting I'm quite a lot older than you, in my experience, that continues to happen. The spiral staircase just continues. And we get to look at these issues, these karmic issues, over and over again throughout our lifetime. And part of it is, again, just to see how you're doing. And I'm not saying anybody is setting this up. I'm just saying it's the way it works. But to see how you're doing, do you have compassion for the person? Is there a tendency to let conditioning come in and have a bunch of judgment and rain down a bunch of cruelty on the human being? Can you approach the whole thing with compassion? Do you have a little sense of humor about it?
I wish I did. It's kind of like torturous because it's like getting back to doing something that I didn't want to do, and it's like a kind of compulsive habit, and I want to stop.
Yep.
It's like I've been doing this since I've been in fourth grade, you know? I mean, it's like it's enough already, you know? And,
but apparently not.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, Barbara, that I think goes with this is a truly essential component for a human being, and that is humility.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were raised with a religion, but Christians, and particularly Catholics, have the expression, thy will be done. Okay? And for us to get to that place of, okay, whatever I'm given, I'm going to receive with gratitude and willingness. Whatever comes my way, it's my opportunity to embrace it and use the opportunity as a step toward freeing the human being from suffering. So you helped her through it once.
Yeah.
You helped her through it once. Now you get to help her through it again.
Yeah. I struggle with these things. I struggle with accepting things as they are. I come from a kind of like a fighter background, and we don't do that.
From a what?
Yeah.
Barbara, from
a
what?
Kind of fighter.
From a what
background? I come from a fighter background.
Oh, a fighter. Uh-huh. Yeah.
A fighter.
Well,
you
fight
know,
for
I,
her.
Uh-huh. You know,
fight
in
for
my,
her.
In my family, yeah, in my family, if we would do that, we would be dead, literally. So both my parents are Holocaust survivors. So we just don't accept things as they are. It's just something we just don't do. And it never helped me because I'm living in this world. I'm not living in that world. In that world, maybe
that's right.
You did have to fight and you had to, you know, move forward. But in this world, you have to be checking out the clues, looking to see how things go, understanding boundaries, you know. And so it's really hard for me. It's very hard for me to just accept things as they are.
Well, you know, it's hard for everybody.
Okay.
It's hard for everybody. And no matter what the circumstances are, we all have to go through the same struggle. So practically everybody in the world can tell you the story of why they are the way they are.
Right.
But it's still just a story.
I hear you.
Yeah. And so your parents have that story to explain how they are. Another family has another story, and another family has another story, and another family has another story. And everybody thinks their story is the most real, true, and compelling. But they're all still just stories. And we're all required to do the same thing, which is to drop that story in order to save the human being.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. It's very hard.
Yeah. Very, very hard. Again, I don't know if you heard me say it, but use that fighter that's in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have that. Use that resolve, that commitment, that tenacity, that strength to save her.
Yeah.
Turn it to a good purpose, yeah?
Yeah, you gave me great, great information, and I will use it, especially the part about having humility, and that is something that will keep me maybe from, being arrogant or doing something, foolish that could hurt me. This can be looked upon as like a protective armor that helps me, and just to have compassion for that, because it's not going to go away with me beating myself up for it, because that's the reason why I have it. It's sort of like a conditioning, like you're doing it, so I'm going to give you a zap over the head because you're doing it. That doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. So it's the only way it's going to stop is if I just can look at it and say, I feel sorry for you, Barbara, for the suffering that you go through. Maybe there's a different way that you can, be humble or whatever without having to torture yourself or to go through
well,
a day.
And Barbara, another really important point here. You're not doing that to yourself. You're not beating yourself.
Okay.
That system that we call egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, that's what's beating on her. And that's what you have the ability to stop. So you can step in between those voices and her, and you can become the armor for her. You can say to those voices, no more beatings. No. Because as I was saying with the previous callers, those beatings are not because she deserves it, because she's doing something wrong, because she's anything. Those beatings are simply there because that system is allowed to give the beatings. And when you move into that place for her and stop them from doing that, when you protect her, the beatings will end.
Okay, so and I'm going to do a recording.
And I would guess, one other thing, and I would guess the behaviors will stop too.
Yeah, no, you make a lot of sense. And I guess the whole thing is to, incorporate the mentor and get the mentor to engage as that being that would intercede when those beings start.
Yes. And when what will happen is, you and the one with the behaviors, right? I'm fourth grade, somebody young, right? And the mentor are going to be the relationship. And in that relationship, there's not going to be any room for beatings. Nobody's going to allow any beatings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will definitely work on this. This is great. You gave me
stay in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for everything, okay?
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, good night.
Thank you, Michael. Good night. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Lots of great conversations tonight, Sherry. It's wonderful.
Yeah, people doing great practice, huh?
Great work. A lot of willingness out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll come back for more calls.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen awareness coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then programs to find Zen awareness coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Michael, it's Renee. Hey, Renee.
Hi.
Hey. I hadn't called in a while either, so I thought I would.
I know. This is so fun, you old-timers.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Well, I was just calling to say how I've been practicing with dropping the conversation and what a huge success it's been.
Oh, good.
So,
it will say more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I'm doing, you know, I don't know what changed. You know, we practice, and then it changes us. And now whenever I hear the voices start up, I just go, oh, that's conditioning, and I'm not going to listen to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So it's like...
And you just come back to where you are.
Yeah, I just come back to where I am. I just drop it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And...
Love it.
Life is so much better. I can't even begin to tell you. Of course you know, but...
Yeah,
and I don't like, it almost feels like I can feel it in addition to hear it, you know, like a darkness or a, I don't know how to describe it, but it just feels like, I guess, suffering, how suffering feels in your body. And I start to feel it and I start to hear it. And like just today on the way home, it was a really busy day at work and, you know, kind of chaotic. And all day I just was hearing from the mentor, chaos is fine, chaos is fine. Nothing wrong with it. And then when I finished the day, it was like conditioning one to review and think, oh, tomorrow's going to be just like this. And, you know, it's going to be horrible. You're not going to be able to keep up. And I did fine today, you know?
Right.
And I made it and everything got done that needed to get done. And if it's chaotic, then I'll be there for it.
Yeah. You know what I love about what you're saying, Renee, is that people caught in the conversation, believing the conversation, believe that the conversation is what's real. And as you describe, you drop the conversation, you are immediately in a completely different reality.
Yeah.
And you can see that conversation isn't what is. It's a conversation. It's a conversation about an imaginary world.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you're here, and it's chaotic. Yeah. And even that, you say, well, it's busy. It's exciting. There's a lot going on. Is it chaotic? Well, I don't know. Everything seemed to have a place in it.
Right. Right. Maybe it's not the way conditioning wanted it to go, you know, organized and orderly and exactly the way it's supposed to go. But everything was fine. Like, what I needed to do, I did in the moment, and people were happy and nothing bad happened. I'm tired at the end of the day, which is fine. I get to go home now and rest, you know.
In fact, it was a day where you got to do a really good job.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just, you're right. The conversation is not real. what is happening is whatever is in the moment. And when we're there and can just be present, it's all okay. Like, it's all right there.
You yeah.
know, it's just, we're available to deal with whatever is in the moment.
Yeah. And the thing that, to me, that's so interesting about that is that, so conditioning says it wants things to be orderly and organized and sequential and manageable mm-hmm. and in control. And then it says, well, this is boring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that's how long true. Are you going to be able to do a job that is this boring? My
oh,
God.
Yeah, yeah
uh-huh.
exactly. It'll just say something bad about that. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So it's
yeah.
always making a case that what is, that there's something wrong with what is, and that the opposite of what is would be better and more desirable and produce more happiness for you.
Right.
None of which
right.
is true.
No, it isn't. The only thing that produces happiness is dropping the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah,
so I thought I would report
great.
That. And I've been doing that for a while. It's just been heavenly, I have to say. And I've just been practicing with it. And when I see it arise, and it might catch on for just a little bit, but not for very long. And then I drop it and come back here. And when I listen to the radio show and the people and just, it's just, I just get so full of joy. Good news updates are amazing. Everything is just so inspiring. Just so inspiring.
Yes. When we're not in that negative conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what it is. And you've probably noticed there's a fair amount of negativity in the world. There's always
mm-hmm.
a fair amount of negativity in the world. And it's
mm-hmm.
all happening in that same conversation in people's heads. And because so
yep.
many people are caught in that conversation in their head, they believe that it's true of the whole world. And as soon as we step out of it, as soon as we drop the conversation, we look
mm-hmm.
around and say, wow, there's a lot of really wonderful stuff happening in this world. Amazing
yes.
stuff. Yeah. People are
yes.
doing extraordinary things. That there's so much kindness and compassion and caring and friendliness and
mm-hmm.
giving and generosity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we can't see that if we're caught in that negative conversation and conditioned mind.
No, we can't. And
yeah,
and that negativity
yeah.
in the world feeds it, and it just grows,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's in the news
yeah.
or the media or wherever you see it and find it, and it just contributes to increasing the conversation, which is not true.
That's right. That's right. And so this whole untrue world just grows and grows and grows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the good news about it, of course, is that because it's a fiction, we don't have to buy into it. If it were really true, we'd be in trouble. But it's
mm-hmm.
not really true. It's a fiction. And so we can
mm-hmm.
drop it and we can have another experience anytime we choose.
Yes, exactly. That's
mm-hmm.
what's so incredible about it is.
It is.
It's,
incredible
you
is a good
like
word,
you,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It feels
mm-hmm.
like you just, I don't know if it's the right word, but you're in control or you have the ability to make a choice.
Yes, you're free.
You're free. Yeah, you're free.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, I'm mighty
so,
happy for you, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you. I'm mighty happy to be part of this practice, so thank you.
You are so welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Take good care. Good night,
okay.
Renee.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee, and I am mighty happy as well to be part of this practice, Sherry.
I know, and don't you love a little testimonial for the power of dropping the conversation?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I love how she described it. Practice, 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 and then all of a sudden, oh, I just drop it.
Right. Magic happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And you just drop it. You just simply say, oh, wait, that's conditioning. I don't need to do that. And then you're just back here where you actually are. Yeah. Very good.
And what I was getting out of it was that if I'm practicing to get somewhere, then I'm probably not going to be long in terms of staying motivated. But when I get to the place that practice is fun and I just do practice, you know, and I continue doing practice, then those miracles really, you know, come about in the way that Renee described.
Yes. Yeah. And that piece of, again, the gratitude, the humility to just, all right, well, I'm here, and what's possible for me is to end suffering. So I'm going to learn to embrace in compassion any suffering that exists. And now we're ready. Right? So there's nothing to compare, because even if I just stepped in a big hole and I was a complete jerk, the voices, you know, just want to start pounding on me, it doesn't matter. I'm here to embrace in compassion. So I can embrace that whole thing in compassion, and we're just right back here where things are actually happening again.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
It is. It's the best.
Yeah.
We have time for somebody else? Good.
I think we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Jessica from Boston.
Hi.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I am calling, I think, mostly just to share some exciting news and then a little bit about this process that I watched happen within that's still unfolding. Saturday marked the one-year anniversary of me being alcohol-free.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And it was really cool. Actually, it was all, I mean, there was many things that led to this, but it was a year ago that I was in Asheville before the There Is Nothing Wrong With Me retreat, and I'd had a lovely day by myself, had a glass of wine with dinner, went on the retreat, and haven't had a drink since. So I was reflecting on it on Saturday, like as it was approaching. So I went to the retreat, and it just kept unfolding that I wasn't drinking, and a year later happened. And so I had been thinking as it was approaching, oh wow, a year is coming up, and then Saturday arrived, and I took a moment to just like sort of journal about it and reflect, and I decided to share it. And it was really, I had this sort of emotional release of like, wow, like I did this. And it was fun to watch conditioning be like, well, why are you reacting? Like you didn't set out to do this. You know, had all these like ridiculous commentary about how I should be responding.
Why are you taking any credit? You didn't intend to.
Right. And then I think there was part of it that was like worried that I was like, you know, minimizing the impact of sort of how alcoholics go through recovery, all kinds of nonsense. And, you know, I made some really yummy, like, mocktail for this barbecue I was going, and I posted this sort of thing on Facebook and was really moved by all of these, you know, people sharing their stories of their decisions to not drink, et cetera, et cetera. And so two pieces that I found fascinating looking at this that have continued and that I'm exploring with my coach right now, which is like all the standards that conditioning has and the ever-changing standards about how I'm supposed to respond to things. And so, yeah, so I had all these wonderful, you know, many wonderful responses about it. And, of course, conditioning is harped on, like, the one person who hasn't acknowledged it. So that's one piece. And then, you know, 2 days later, I was texting with this guy that I'm dating and just mentioned that I, you know, celebrated my 1 year anniversary of now alcohol, and that it was, you know, unexpectedly more moving than I had anticipated, but really awesome. And he wrote back, you know, good for you for meeting your goal. And I noticed immediately all of this sort of anger and resistance, mostly resistance to that, because I was like, but I didn't have a goal. Like, this is just what happened. And so I've sort of been like, what is that? But I'm in this interesting place of, like, how much does exploring get me into another conversation with conditioning that's about a standard of how I should and shouldn't respond? And then there was this person in my yoga class today that said, congratulations, 7 years ago I made a choice to stop drinking, and it was, you know, the best decision I ever made. And I had this moment of, like, I did choose this, that every day I actually, even though 1 year ago I didn't go to the retreat thinking I'm not going to drink ever again or I'm not going to drink for a year, and there was actually never a point in the year that I was like, I'm going to go for a year. But every day I made a choice not to have a drink, and it's okay for me to celebrate that. So that's kind of where I'm at and what I wanted to share.
Wow. It's amazing what we get to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been really wild.
Yeah?
It's been really cool.
Yeah. And how conditioning is always there. Again, when you were talking about that, how it's always looking for what it can take the opposite side to, how it can make something into a duality, right? So congratulations on meeting your goal. You didn't have a goal. It's like, was that the point of the text? You know, but it's constantly looking for how can this be turned into a problem?
Yeah, how
right?
can
and
I
that, that Yeah, and that thing again about standards, as if ego cares, that's where it gets us, is that we're convinced that it really does care about these things. And of course it doesn't. It's just something to talk about. So if you drink, then it's going to talk about drinking, and probably you drink too much and how you probably shouldn't. And but if you're not going to drink, then it's got to talk about the process of not drinking and what it means and whether you decided or not, and if this is your choice, and do you deserve – I mean, God, give us a break. You know, it's just – this is really quite an amazing thing. Good. Let's enjoy that.
Yeah.
But not from conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what's dropping in now is for me to take some time to really record about how awesome it is that I've done this and how much I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and that it's kind of part and parcel of a whole year of your life that's been remarkable. I mean, not that every year of your life hasn't been remarkable. I'm sure it has been. But that you've done so much in this year. You've brought so much awareness to your life and to everything in your life in this year. And that's one piece of the awareness.
Yes. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was starting to see, is that you know, there was so much that I've done this year, but all I could look back, I think that's what was the beauty of the sort of emotional release I had on Saturday, is like looking back and thinking of all the wonderful pieces and stops and practices and challenges and great teachers and Sangha moments along the way that made, even before I arrived at the retreat, that provided the space for me to do and have the year that I had.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To celebrate the whole thing.
The whole thing.
And again, because I don't quite know how to say this, but because there's the awareness to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm,
you know, we can have an extraordinary life And we can even know we have an extraordinary life and miss the magnitude of it, miss the celebration of it, miss taking it in, you know? And so you're really here for all of this.
It's true. It feels really good.
Yeah. It's that fun part Michael was talking about. When all of practice becomes fun in the sense of interesting and different and unusual and compelling.
Right. Well, and that's how I felt when I got that text, is I thought immediately, I was like, oh, well, look at this resistance I have. And to have that awareness that has nothing to do with him, has nothing to do with goals, and to be like, well, this feels uncomfortable, but how fun. I get to look at this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing reaction. What's that about? Yes, instead of, you know, where we started out, which is, what the heck is wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with him? Well, well, what's wrong? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been amazing. I wanted to share that, and I am excited and scared. Equal part excited and scared because I'll be coming to the monastery in 2 weeks. So even more practice.
In 2 weeks?
In two weeks,
didn't know we were that close. Oh, 2 weeks and counting. Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be amazing. All right. Well, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Karen. Thank you, Michael. Have a good night.
You too.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. And, wow, Sherry, another amazing show.
Yeah. What amazing people. God, I love practice. It's just the very best.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I was noticing how many callers say some version of, I've been working with my coach on, you know, and they all mention their Zen awareness coaching, and it's just great.
Yes, it really is great. It really is. It's the fast track, isn't it? You know, you start getting that kind of support, regular support, make those commitments, have help keeping those commitments, and woo, it's the... the afterburners, right? It's reaching escape velocity, as it says in one of the books. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Well, thank you once again, Michael.
Thank you,
grateful.
Sherry. It was fabulous. Yeah. Me too.
Good night.
Good night.